the only tool missing from your belt. Simpro, total business software for the trades. When you choose Simpro, you get the digital power tools of the trades that make work, work. Founded by trades, for the trades. Simpro is your solution for scheduling, quoting, inventory tracking, and easy workflow management that grows with you. Join more than 200,000 users worldwide who trust Simpro to help them run and grow their business. We're here for you, so let's get to work.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Security Insider podcast. And I am joined today by Ron Hawkins, Director of Industry Relations with the Security Industry Association in the US. I have Neil Jenkins, Principal Consultant at Omdia. And I have Søren Nordgaard, Director of the Security Expo in Australia. Gentlemen, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Ron, I'm going to start with you. Obviously, you're, as the industry association or the peak industry association here in the US, you do a fair bit of research around trends, challenges, and opportunities. What are you seeing as some of the biggest trends that have emerged in the last 12 months heading into 2024?
Yeah, thanks, John. First of all, thanks for the opportunity to be on the podcast. So each year, SIA produces a document called Megatrends, and that's based on a survey of industry leaders, interviews with industry leaders as well, and just getting their thoughts on exactly the question that you asked, what are the big trends in the industry? And this year, the top four out of the top 10, the top four all had one thing in common, AI. Numbers 1, 2, 3, and 4 were all related to artificial intelligence in the security industry, whether it was the use of generative AI or the regulations of AI, et cetera. So that's really the biggest driver right now that I see.
And Neil, obviously coming from your role as a principal consultant, how is that dovetailing in with what you're talking about and seeing with a lot of your clients?
So Omdia is a market intelligence company that crosses the technology industry, essentially. So we don't just look at physical security. We have research coverage on service providers, on semiconductor manufacturing, on consumer electronics and smartphones. And some of the trends that we hear, you know, Ron talking about AI, for example, we see across lots of those different industries. So it's a kind of pervasive solution across lots of different technology markets that we cover. Similarly, cloud is the same. So that is a technology that we've seen impact lots of different sectors that we cover. In the physical security space, there are more specific ones. So mobile credentials in the access control space would be an example of more specific technology driver that you see only really in physical security, but obviously leveraging smartphones and the technology there. So there's a lot of different drivers, you know, and some industries and some sectors are more focused on technology evolution. So for example, the fire industry tends to be quite slow because it's so regulated, so it's very difficult to implement new technologies there quickly. Some of the video surveillance, for example, AI has been evolving very, very quickly in comparison to other sectors. So yeah, there's a raft of different drivers and trends, and even geographically, that there are different applications. In Asia, we see a real kind of focus on cloud, for example, more so than we've seen in other regions. So it is very different, and depending which geographic region and which trend you look at.
I'm just going to pause this for 2 seconds. Obviously, with regard to what you're doing on the podcast, I'm not going to ask you about trends and challenges in the US, but if you have questions, feel free to jump in at any point in time throughout this to ask questions as well. I'll just continue the recording. So Neil, when you talk about cloud, is that in the scope of AI, as in cloud within AI, or how AI is being implemented in the cloud, or is it just cloud as itself being one of the big challenges that you're seeing people talk about?
I'm not sure challenge is the right word. I think opportunity is probably the right word because it is evolving the way that you can go to market. If you went back 10, 15 years, almost everything would be on-premise. It would be, you know, stored, managed locally. And obviously we've seen, to some extent over the last 10, 15 years, cloud permeate into SMB markets in the most part, and perhaps not into the enterprise. But you know, you just take a look at enterprise IT, and their cloud is pervasive across all of the sector, and I think we'll start to see that as well. So it's a huge opportunity. I would say, to some extent, AI, the processing of AI, is relevant when you're talking about cloud, because you can then start to process in lots of different locations and bring that together. You can take the benefits of edge processing of AI. You can take the benefits of doing it on a data center. But we tend to look at those technologies and those sort of evolutions and drivers in two separate buckets for the most part.
Yeah. Soren, I know you've been seeing a lot more activity on the show floor over the last few years in the cybersecurity space. And so, Ron, this is one of the questions I wanted to put to you. And Neil, you can sort of jump in on this as well. I know that traditionally when it comes to cloud type applications, a lot of security managers and cybersecurity managers have also been of the opinion that if I can't hug it, I don't want to know about it. They really wanted that on-site, on-premise kind of storage where they could control the environment. But now we're seeing this transition to more video as a service kind of model. So it might be video surveillance as a service or access control as a service or cybersecurity as a service. Are you seeing more of that move towards embracing of the cloud type infrastructure?
Yeah, I think so. There still is that debate, certainly between cloud and on-prem, but there are a lot of users moving toward cloud for exactly the reasons that have been discussed, because of the additional functionalities, because of the additional service models that it creates the possibility for, the as-a-service models. And so there is that trend toward the cloud that we do see. And just to revisit the Megatrends document that I mentioned earlier, these are also items that have been in either in the current edition of Megatrends or in recent ones: cybersecurity, cloud, as a service models. These are all trends that are really driving the industry. So, you know, we've done a few presentations over the years, kind of looking at security, and one framework that I like is you can almost put the history of security into three buckets. You have the manual phase where it's just some person standing at a door and saying you can't come in here. You have the electronic phase, you know, starting around the mid 20th century or so, with video cameras and access control and intrusion detection. And then you have, I think, the phase that we're starting to get into now, which is the smart phase of security. And so that's where AI comes in. It's where Internet of Things comes in. It's where automation comes in, robotics, where security is becoming more and more capable, and all the things that we've been discussing factor into that.
Yeah, we started to see sort of late in the second decade or early in the second decade of this century, you know, that move towards IP and that smart phase of the industry that you discussed threatening to start emerge, but it's probably taken a good 10 years to actually get there from 2015 to now. You mentioned the Megatrends paper. What are some of the other trends that you're starting to see emerge as part of that?
Yes, I think we've already covered a lot of them, especially since, as I said, four of them are all AI related. Number one, security of AI, and then AI visual intelligence, generative AI, regulation of AI. But beyond that, we already talked about as a service models and the effect that that's having on integrators. IT-OT convergence is big. You know, it's not just about IT and physical security and logical security convergence. It's IT-OT convergence also having a big impact. And real estate re-optimization, the pandemic, COVID-19 certainly had a huge impact, obviously, on the commercial real estate market. Changes the way we go to work. And as a result, that changes the way that people secure buildings, that changes the demand for building security. So a lot of changes there. And then I think there's only one other that I haven't mentioned yet, the impact of megatech companies. You see companies like Google, Apple, Microsoft getting more involved, and so involved, in fact, that all three of those are members of SIA. And you don't have to go back too many years when it would have been kind of unthinkable that a company like Apple or Microsoft or Google would be joining a security industry association.
Yeah, I want to go back a step because you mentioned in your earlier response, one of the big trends that you were seeing being discussed in the industry was AI governance. Tell me a little bit about that, because we've seen through the implementation of biometrics in the past, especially here in the US, that misunderstanding around biometrics and facial recognition have led to what could possibly best be described as a number of knee-jerk implementations of laws and things like that, which have caused some real challenges around the biometric implementation across a number of states in the US and possibly put it back quite a long way further than where it needed to be. How do you see that as being different in AI? And I'll get you to answer that, and then, Neil, you can sort of jump in and give your thoughts on it.
Yeah, it is a great question, especially since AI, there are a lot of unknowns there. There's a lot of potential good. There's some potential bad. So certainly there is going to be some regulation, some guardrails in place. But where do you build those guardrails? Because you don't want to suffocate this emerging technology. You don't want to crush the industry before it can be fully developed, especially when you have strategic competitors elsewhere in the world that are not facing these sorts of constraints. And if we're tying our own hands, then they're going to be leaps and bounds ahead of us. So how do you answer that question? Boy, that it's a very tough one. We want to see AI, especially in security, be developed to its fullest potential, you know, while within an appropriate an appropriate regulatory framework that is not suffocating growth.
Yeah, because I suppose one of the big key parts around the implementation of AI, especially in something as sensitive as a security environment, is going to be around identity and the use of personal information. Sorry.
No, absolutely. And I'll mention SIA does have a couple of groups that are working on these issues. We have an AI advisory board. We have a data privacy advisory board. Obviously, definitely some overlap there. And we'll be doing some things at this conference here in Vegas this week on those topics. So, yeah, that is one of the issues that might be the most prone to immediate regulation sooner rather than later is protecting personal sensitive information that is being used by AI.
Yeah. And Neil, is this something that you're sort of dealing with in what you're seeing through your research and your customers?
Yeah, to some extent. I mean, I think the impact on AI is to some extent regional at the moment. You know, so there are elements in, you know, countries in Europe, for example, that are more pro the technology or more anti the technology or more concerned about the technology might be a better way to put it. There are countries in Asia. I mean, we've seen case studies in China where some of the things they can do are incredible, but the kind of imposition in terms of personal privacy also has an impact. And it's to some extent a sliding switch. So you can kind of give up a little bit of the privacy and you can have these fantastic features or you can keep more of it. But you know, it's going to be a judgment that different countries make. And to be fair, even different states within different countries were likely to make different decisions there. The other thing that I think, and this is perhaps looking more at the broader coverage that Omdia has. So we have research analysts that cover just AI. So they're not physical security focused. And we have events that cover AI as well. And I think some of the discussions around the broader market and LLMs and all the sort of new evolution of AI that's impacting the world right now is going to have some impact. You know, it's the discussions and the decisions that are made there are likely to have a consequence to the physical security space. As to what that is, I think that's still being worked out.
Yeah. Soren, I know that in organising the conference program or helping to organise the conference program for Australia and organising the security show itself, you're obviously in contact with a lot of people and you get to see what the requests are around information and all the rest of it that people want to see at the show. Is AI becoming more of a focus in our region as well?
Absolutely. As you would know from last year, I think you were on a panel all around AI at the show.
Yep. How we're all going to end up being subservient to our robot overlords in the next 5 to 10 years.
Absolutely. So that obviously keeps evolving and, you know, the trends that Ron and Neil just outlined are very much topical at the conference this year. Observing through these conversations, one of the things that stands out for me is the impact of the adaptation of these technologies and the competitive landscape when it comes to IoT, because obviously there are many sectors outside of security that are competing for that talent. Just wondering how that's, what that might mean for the industry going forward.
Perhaps you can start by answering that, Neil.
That's a very difficult question. I mean, clearly, and this is not a research competency of mine, but clearly there is a premium on AI engineers and software engineers that have experience in AI, and they're being hoovered up by companies that are not physical security companies. So it is going to be challenging to hire. And I don't know whether this has been a mega trend in the past, but I know hiring and winning talent to the physical security space is a topic. I think it's going to be challenging to get those types of people there. Whether there's an opportunity to leverage what those organizations do in the physical security space, that might be one way to benefit from that. But yeah, clearly we're not going to be able to hire in that level of person, because they're going to go to the organizations that are sort of offering them more money ultimately.
We're certainly seeing that as a trend in Australia across the show. So we have the security and a sister show called Integrate sitting side by side. And we're seeing a lot more of the big tech companies that you mentioned, your Microsofts and your Googles, etc., being on the show floor, because they're seeing opportunity in this space. So it's going to be interesting to see how it evolves, and in that very much sort of IT conglomerate coming forward.
Yeah, that is one of the huge issues that the industry in the US, and I imagine around the world, has been facing, is workforce development, recruitment and retention. And it's not just about AI. As security has become more technological, it's become, as has been discussed by Neil, by Soren, it's become a competitor with the big tech companies. And how do you get the people with the tech expertise, not even getting to AI yet, which that's a whole other level, but how do you get people with that tech expertise to come into the security industry when the industry does not have the cachet that say consumer electronics might. And that is something that our members, that SIA members, have identified as one of their top challenges for the past several years, so much so that SIA partnered with a sister association, ESA, Electronic Security Association, to form a new group, Foundation for Advancing Security Talent, a 501c3, just focused specifically on enhancing workforce development in the security industry. And as the industry becomes more and more tech-focused, which it certainly will, that challenge is only going to grow.
Yeah, and I guess we're seeing that also too in the systems integration side of things as well, because it's not just in the tech space. We're finding it difficult as an industry in general across the globe to try and find people to fill some of these roles. But you mentioned the impact of megatech companies as being one of the main trends. Is it just in the space of finding talent, or is it also reflective of those companies moving into these industries and starting to show more interest in being in the industry?
Yeah, I was actually thinking more of the latter, but there certainly is that competitive aspect when it comes to workforce, to talent. But yeah, it's really about those companies getting more involved in the security industry themselves and starting to provide security services in many cases. And as I said, joining groups like SIA, and it's a recent development and one that we never would have expected a few years ago.
When you talk about getting involved in the industry, help me understand a little bit more about what you mean, because I know that there were discussions in years gone by around sort of Amazon looking to get into the security space by way of home security and things like that. So what are we talking about?
Yeah, that's a great example. Amazon is a company I should have mentioned, because Ring is another member of ours. Ring, it's a security device right there. Google Nest was another one that came out a few years ago. So they're actually becoming providers of security. And that it changes the dynamic within the industry when you have the, you know, the legacy companies, especially smaller legacy companies, now competing against these behemoths.
Yeah, but then again, there's an interesting opportunity there. I mean,
there is,
there is always in years gone by, if you're developing a new and interesting enough product, then there's big companies out there that are going to want to buy that product.
Exactly. Yeah, it's an exciting time for the industry. You know, we're happy to have them as members, and happy to see what they're bringing to the industry. And you know, I just mentioned a couple of minutes ago how security is not that well known. It does not have the cachet that, you know, we're here at ISC West in Vegas, the Security Products Trade Show, which is huge. I think it's definitely the biggest show in our country, one of the biggest in the world, but. When you look at that compared to, say, CES, Consumer Electronics Show, you know, it's a fraction of that. But if you're bringing in an Amazon, a Google, an Apple, a Microsoft, then you really have the potential to elevate the industry in many ways.
Yeah. Now, when you talk about things like trends and opportunities, one of the ones you mentioned before was real estate re-optimization. Can you walk us through that a little bit?
Sure. So after COVID... obviously, during the pandemic, a lot of people were mobile working, and after COVID, you had the whole, does mobile work continue? Is it, you go to return to work? And that's a debate that continues today. So you have a lot of office space in a lot of cities that are vacant now that were not before. So that changes the role of security. It changes the demand for security. And it just by the fact that the building use is either being changed or is not being used at all. So that's something that the industry is dealing with, especially those that are focused on commercial space.
Okay. And Neil, are you seeing much in your research around sort of the re-optimization of workspaces and how that's changing in the industry or how the industry is being impacted by it?
Yeah, I mean, it's impacting deployments because the requirements are different. Yep. One of the projects that I get involved in looks at the pro AV market. So there's an element of physical security, but there's a broader audio visual element to it as well. And that's a lot of the discussion there is, you know, how offices are being re-optimized for group working, you know, rather than individual working. You know, whether different online communication tools or Microsoft Teams and those types of applications, you know, where they sit, where the conference phone sits in the whole discussion as well. So a lot of industries that sell into the building technology space are dealing with the same challenges. You know, that there is uncertainty as to what buildings look like. You know, there is also opportunity in terms of redesigning, reorganizing, and redeploying a building to fit the new requirements. But there's an uncertainty as to, you know, how much working that will be done in offices and what that working will look like and how much will be done from home. But it does feel like it's somewhat coming back a little bit. You know, there was perhaps a little bit of hyperbole during COVID where everybody will work remotely and nobody will ever go into an office ever again. And I don't think that's the case. I think we're starting to see in most regions, some element of return, you know, to greater and smaller degrees, depending where you are. But it's just navigating that transition and, you know, what the future looks like. But yeah, every industry that sells into the building tech, from my vantage point, is dealing with the same challenges.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest challenges we're going to see sort of as we move forward is that, if nothing else, COVID has changed people's thinking around how these things work and what we used to accept as just part and parcel of our role, which was I need to spend 2 hours in a car or on public transport each day driving or traveling to and from the office. People have now shifted in their thinking around that to, well, hang on, that's my time. And if you want me to spend my time doing that, you need me to pay for that, or you need to pay for that as my employer, which I think is changing things a little bit. Soren, in your role as Director of Integrate as well, which is one of the largest AV shows, are you seeing a similar thing around that sort of trend in re-optimization of the real estate and workspace happening at that show?
Very much a focus, again, with you know, the megatech companies getting involved in that space. So unified communications, video conferencing is a big ticket for that particular show. That's probably a good 40% of the show now.
Yeah,
compared to just a few years ago. So again, the megatech companies coming into that space, especially with Teams and all of the OEMs that support the Teams environment. So big focus on that, big focus on, working environments, be it, the virtual boardrooms or trends around AI again being incorporated into that meeting environment.
Yeah. And I suppose one of the biggest challenges is it's not just going to be around the security side of things, but also largely the cybersecurity side of things. Because if you've got a widely dispersed workforce that are now working across, if you had 50 people in the offices, you've now got 50 satellite offices, essentially. What does a trusted network look like in that kind of environment? Okay. And with regard to the megatrends paper, were there any major challenges that were sort of popping up in there, or was it all largely focused on trends and opportunities?
I think I listed all the ones that were identified this year, but I think all of them could be looked at as being both a challenge and an opportunity. It's, what's the old saying that the Chinese have the same word for challenge as they do threat, or the same word for opportunity as they do for threat. It's a great time to be in the industry. I think there's a lot of opportunity there, and at the same time, there are a lot of challenges to overcome.
Fantastic. Well, Ron, if people want to find out more about the Security Industry Association, where do they go?
Go to securityindustry.org. Several of the resources that I've mentioned, including the Megatrends document, are available on that website.
Excellent. And Neil, if people want to find out more about Omdia, where do they go?
At omdia.com. So, yep.
Excellent. And Soren, if people want to look at the Security Expo or Integrate, where do they need to go?
Well, go to securityexpo.com.au.
Fantastic. Gentlemen, thank you very much for your time. It's been a pleasure chatting to you, and we'll hopefully catch up with you again soon.
Thank you.
And ladies and gentlemen, don't forget, if you've enjoyed this podcast, there are plenty more like this one in the ASIAL Security Insider series. You can find them on Apple iTunes, Spotify, Blurberry, the Google Play Store, and all the other great places that you can find amazing podcasts. And we look forward to catching you on the next episode. Have a great day.
The only tool missing from your belt, Simpro. Total business software for the trades. When you choose Simpro, you get the digital power tools of the trades that make work, work. Founded by trades, for the trades. Simpro is your solution for scheduling, quoting, inventory tracking, and easy workflow management that grows with you. Join more than 200,000 users worldwide who trust Simpro to help them run and grow their business. We're here for you, so let's get to work.